Now, for the next 6 weeks, just to kick off Discover, we were thinking about what sort of subjects we should do and what sort of things we should cover. And we thought, well, a good way to start Discover would be to go back to basics and to think about the basics of Christianity. What is Christianity all about? And quite a few of you will already be familiar with a course called Christianity Explored, which we've done here at Parkside on several occasions. I think some of you have actually done the course. Now, for those who have done the course or are doing the course, I don't really apologise in one sense, because it's always good to go back to basics. And what the Christianity Explored course seeks to do is to literally go from step one, step two, and so on, a kind of 101 of what Christianity is all about. And we're planning on covering the first 6 weeks of the course. Now, normally when you do the course, there will be sort of other aspects involved, and there'll be times of discussion and so on. And so what we're really just doing is going through the basic material of the course rather than running a course as such. But if it whets your appetite, you might be interested in actually doing a full course later on. So that's really sort of the idea of where we're going or why we're doing what we're doing. So we're starting off with what is effectively the first week of the Christianity Explored course. And the title of that in the course is, it's about good news. It starts off with good news. And the title really is, what are we doing here? And this is kind of, I suppose you'd say, the introduction to what we're doing here. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder if you've had the experience of looking at something in nature, some beautiful sight or something like that, and just standing there, and perhaps for a few moments your breath is taken away and you just don't know what to say. This is a picture that we took when we were over in New Zealand last year. And we were in the South Island of New Zealand and saw some absolutely awesome scenery. And of course, a photograph like that just simply does not do it justice. I mean, we were travelling up one day from one location to another location, and basically it took us all day to get there because we just kept stopping the car and getting out and taking photographs. And this was one of those examples. And I'm sure you've had sort of similar experiences maybe where you just stop. And you don't know what to say, and you think, this is absolutely incredible and absolutely awesome, absolutely amazing. And when we see things like that, I'm sure it makes us think, doesn't it? And we begin to think about, well, how did this all come about, and where did this come from? And how is this possible? We live in an amazing world. Some of you might have been watching the TV last night, and there was a program called The Frozen Planet. Did anyone happen to see that? And some of the photography in that is just incredible, isn't it? And you see the way in which life seems to come from the most inhospitable situation and environment. And it's just absolutely amazing. I don't think there's any doubt that we live in an absolutely amazing world. Now, that's not to say, of course, that there aren't problems in this world and things, bad things that happen, but certainly there are times when we just stand back in awe and amazement, wonder and amazement. And, you know, it's not just the big things, is it? Because we only have to look at ourselves to realise just how amazing life is. Just think of the human body and the intricacy of the human body. And if you work in anything like engineering or software or things like that, you'll know just how difficult it is and how complicated it is to get things working and to get machinery working. I happen to work in machine vision, and the sort of software I write is to do with, effectively, computers being able to see things. And the conclusion I've come to over about the last 15 years of writing programs to try and make computers see things is just how incredibly difficult it is to make a computer see what we just see without even thinking about it. You know, you open your eyes and you look, and you see someone, and you recognize someone, and you can tell the difference between different colours and things like that, and yet to program that into a computer is incredibly difficult. And, you know, we can only scratch the surface and do the bare minimum of the sort of things that the human brain and the human eye can do. And you have to say it's just an incredible piece of engineering, the eye and the brain and things like that. You know, and as far as the space is concerned, apparently, by the latest estimates, and, you know, as technology improves and we are able to see deeper into space, the numbers only get bigger and bigger. And I'm told that, you know, by the current estimates, I'll just check what the latest figures are, yes, 100 billion stars in our galaxy. You know, and that's a picture from the Hubble Space Telescope of a galaxy. I'm not even sure whether it's our galaxy or another galaxy, but I'm guessing it's another galaxy, actually, because it was probably in our galaxy when it was taken. But 100 billion stars in a galaxy. And then we're told that there's probably something like 100 billion galaxies altogether. You know, those numbers are just mind-blowing. You just can't get your head round them, can you? And to think that we're some tiny little pinprick in the middle of a galaxy like that. Absolutely awesome. But then the human body. What about the human body itself? I remember learning at school about DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, for those of you who don't know what it is. And I found it really fascinating, you know, the details of how life is encoded into this strand of material called DNA. And apparently, if you took the DNA from one cell in the body, it would stretch out to about 6 feet long. And there's about 50 trillion cells in the human body, so do a quick bit of maths. It means if you put all the DNA together or stretch out in a big long line, it would go from here to the moon and back, not just once, but about 80,000 times. And that's just inside the body of one human being. Amazing, incredible, isn't it? And there's a big question that this all raises. Well, how did this happen? Where did it come from? Now, we all know what the standard scientific answer is. Effectively, we're told, and you know, many of the TV programs and things that you see will promote this idea, it all just happened by chance. Essentially, we are here as a matter of random chance. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that just doesn't seem sufficient and it just doesn't make sense and it just doesn't adequately answer the question. And of course, the Bible has a different answer. And the Bible quite unashamedly tells us that God is the creator and he is the author of all these things that we see about us. In fact, the Bible doesn't even try to prove these things, because when you think about it from a philosophical point of view, it's something that is unprovable, the existence of God, and ultimately has to be taken by faith and based on the evidence that we see around us. And the Bible starts off at the very beginning, and it says, in the beginning, God. It doesn't try to prove him, it doesn't try to explain him, it just says, there he was in the beginning. And I suppose the point of this Christianity Explored course, in a way, is to say, look, this is what the Bible says, and the material we're going to go through is largely based on one book in the Bible called Mark's Gospel. And it's a book about good news, and it's going to say, if you like, here's the evidence, see how it fits. See how it fits in with what your experience of life is, and see whether you believe that God, through his word, is telling the truth by what he says. Now, I suppose one of the problems is that, we're going to come on to that in a minute. Christianity, in some ways, kind of leaves people a bit cold sometimes, doesn't it? You know, I don't know what you think about Christianity. If you haven't had experience of it before, maybe think of, like, dry, dusty old churches. Or some people's idea is it's all rules and regulations. Or maybe, you know, the idea that, well, to be a Christian is sort of blind faith, so you have to leave your brain at the door of the church when you walk in and sort of leave all your faculties behind. Or other people's idea is, well, it's just a way of taking all the fun out of life, you know. All the really enjoyable things you're not allowed to do, and so. And that's perhaps where a lot of people think of Christianity. I don't know if you've had some sort of experience when you were growing up of going along to a church or something like that, and it was all seemed very dull and boring and irrelevant. Well, the message that Mark brings to us in his gospel, the message from the Bible, is actually that that's not what Christianity is about at all. That is a completely incorrect view of what the true gospel, the true good news is. And so that's where we want to get to. And it starts off in the very first verse of the book of Mark. Now, I don't know whether everyone has Bibles, and if you haven't got a Bible of your own, one thing I would encourage you to do is to get a Bible, and we've actually got some Bibles here, which you can have if you want. And over the next 6 weeks, if you want to, you can go through and read through the whole of the book of Mark, because the material is split up over the 6 weeks, covering the whole of the book of Mark. And you can examine these things for yourself. But we're going to start from the very first verse of Mark chapter 1. And this is what it says, and we've read it already. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So really, what this verse tells us right from the beginning is, the good news, the Christian message, the essence of it, is not about, you know, churches, church buildings. It's not about not having fun. It's not about keeping rules and regulations. It's not about, you know, suspending your mental faculties and believing something that's completely unbelievable. But it starts off with a person called Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Jesus Christ. The gospel about Jesus Christ. So Christianity, in a sense, is not so much a religion as a relationship with a person, and it's about Christ. And that's one of the things I think we want to try and get over as best we can in these next 6 weeks. Now, the title Christ, incidentally, is not like a surname. It's not like Alan Michael, Jesus Christ, that sort of thing. But Christ is more of a title rather than a name. You know, a title like a Caesar or something like that. Well, Christ, in the Bible, sort of one explanation of the term Christ, a simple way of understanding it is this, that he is God's only chosen king. He is the one chosen by God, the only one who has the right to reign and to rule, not just in the whole world, but in individual lives as well. And so that's the idea of this name Christ, or this title Christ. Now, bear in mind that when this was first written, because Mark's gospel was written about 2,000 years ago, in the Roman era, at a time when Rome ruled the whole world, or the world certainly where the Bible stories happened. That was a very controversial claim to be making, to say that Jesus was the Christ. It was tantamount, in some respects, in some people's minds, to setting up in opposition to the Roman authority and saying there's an alternative king. And, you know, the Romans didn't like that sort of thing. So it was a very dangerous thing to be saying, and yet that's what Mark is saying. He's saying the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And many of the people who read this gospel would have been Romans who would have read it. But also it says there it's gospel. Now that word might not make sense to you. You've probably heard of a gospel choir and that sort of thing maybe. Well, the word gospel is simply good news. It literally means good news. But it's not just a little bit of good news. You know, it's not just good news. Oh, have you heard the good news that such and such has had a baby? Or have you heard the good news that I've passed my exams? You know, that's good news and it passes after a few hours or a few days. But this is a bit more akin to the good news that war has ended. Some of you may remember back to the last World War and the victory in Europe Day, VE Day, and we celebrate and we hear about this from time to time. It's sort of recently been commemorated because it has come up to 50 years since that's happened, or 60 years now. Well, the reason why that was good news, the reason why people had street parties, why neighbours who never used to talk to each other all got together and had a meal together in the street and things like this, was because war had ended, the killing and the slaughter was over. There was peace. Finally, they had peace. And this good news is a bit like that. This is the gospel about Jesus Christ. It's the good news. You know, in another place in the Bible, it says that we're actually the enemies of God, and it's as if we're at war with God. But the good news is, through Jesus Christ, that war has ended, and we can have peace. And so that's the good news. That's the idea of the gospel. Now, over 6 weeks, I'm assuming that you'll come back next week and you sort of listen and you listen to the messages over 6 weeks. I wonder whether you'll at the end think this is good news and say, you know, after hearing all of that, I've never heard that before maybe, but that is really good news. In fact, if you don't think at the end of this that this is the best news that you have ever heard, then I can categorically say you haven't understood what Mark is saying. Because what he is saying is, this is the best news that anybody could ever and has ever heard. And so that's essentially what this message is about. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But that's just Mark's opening verse. And then he goes on, and right away he launches into some amazing things that are happening and amazing encounters that people have with this person called Jesus Christ. And what he's actually doing, he's building up an argument about who this person is and what he's done and so on. Now, there are three main kind of things that we will cover in Christianity Explored. Number one, who is Jesus Christ? His identity is really important. It's really important to know who he is. And actually, that will form the basis of next week's message, really, who he is, and what Mark has to say about who he is. But then there's another question, why did he come? You see, did you notice here what it says? It says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is making an incredible claim. He's saying that this person is not just, he's not any ordinary person. He is a human being, but he's not just an ordinary human being. He is actually the Son of God himself. God has come down into this world for a reason and for a purpose. And so the second important thing is, why did he come? What was his mission? What was his purpose? Why did God bother to leave heaven and to come to this earth? And all the things that we know happened to him, including his death and so on, why would God allow all that to happen? There must have been a really important purpose. And then the third question, which this all raises, is what does it mean to become and to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And so these are really the three kind of questions that we'll look at as we go through the Christianity Explored course. But let's move on in what Mark says in chapter 1. And this is what it said in the next couple of verses. You see, Mark immediately quotes a prediction that was made 700 years beforehand. This was something written down 700 years before by a man called Isaiah, who was a prophet of God, a messenger of God. And he said this, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight his paths. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So what Mark says is that before even the Lord Jesus came, before Jesus Christ appeared, there was a person who was preparing the way for him. And this was all predicted 700 years before. And one of the things we find in Mark is that different things were predicted beforehand by God in his word. And what that shows me is this, that the coming of Jesus Christ was not some random chance. It wasn't some sort of last minute thing where God suddenly thought, well, I'm going to send him just to see what he can do. But it was all planned. It was part of a purpose and a plan. God is a God of order and plan and purpose. And he had a purpose in Jesus Christ coming. So much so that he predicted it 700 years ago by the prophet Isaiah. And here he's predicting not just the coming of Jesus Christ. You notice that the message was, prepare the way for the Lord. The Lord is coming. But he even predicted that a person would tell everyone to prepare for that. And this man was called John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a strange man, lived out in the desert, dressed in a very weird way and ate a very strange diet. But he came with a message. And he was telling people, get ready, the Lord's coming. Get ready, for the King is coming. And he was preparing the way for this Jesus Christ to come and for him to come. And interesting, it says he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now that might seem a bit of a strange sentence and it's got some words like baptism, repentance and so on that might not necessarily be familiar to us. But what John was doing was saying, look, the King's coming. And people knew instinctively that they weren't really ready for him. Their lives were not really what they wanted them to be. And they certainly weren't what God wanted them to be. And they needed to do something about that. And repentance, actually, is all about a change of heart and change of mind that says, I realize that I'm not what God wants me to be. I realize my life is not right as far as God is concerned. And something has to change. And he was also talking about the forgiveness of sins. You see, when we come on in the weeks of Christianity Explored, one of the sessions we'll deal about the subject of sin, which essentially is where we've gone wrong as far as God is concerned. And those things that we've done wrong need to be forgiven, and it's only God who can do that. And what John was saying was, all these people, get ready for the Lord to come. And if you're ready for him, and you want to be ready for him, and if you want to have your sins forgiven, and you want to have a change of heart, well, you can show that, you can demonstrate that by this thing called baptism, which was actually symbolic of sins being forgiven and of a new life. It didn't actually make them, it didn't forgive their sins and it didn't give them a new life, but it was a symbol of what they were speaking about in their life. But you know, John said something amazing about this person who's coming after him. This person who came after him was going to be even greater than him. This is what he said. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I'm baptizing you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So here now, Mark's making an incredible claim, and John the Baptist, in his words, is saying this. He's saying, this one who's coming is not just going to be one who can get your sins forgiven. He can deal with the problem of sin. He can make us right with God in a way which we cannot do ourselves. But actually, he's going to give the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is God himself. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power of God to live in the way that God wants us to live. So if we recognize that we're not our lives are not what they ought to be, and indeed, we're not able to do what God wants us to do, well, the message is this. There's a way in which we can have the wrong things put right, and we can have the power of God to live in the way that God wants us to live. So that's the incredible claim and message that's coming. You see, Mark has started off, and he's almost told us the end at the beginning. You know, a bit like people who pick up a book and read the last chapter or the last few words to find out what the end is. Well, Mark's almost doing that as well. I mean, another analogy would be, say someone took you around a factory and they were going to show you how the factory worked and how the production line worked. And they'll take you through the whole production line and say, this is what happens and this is what happens. But they start off by showing you the final outcome, the final product. This is what it's all about. This is what this factory makes. And Mark's saying that. He's saying, look, I'm going to take you through the story of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you what God has done and how he has done it. But let me give you a preview right at the start of what this is all about. This is all about a complete transformation of people's lives. Sins forgiven and a power to live in a way that glorifies God. And that's what the Christian message is all about. And that is what Mark is saying. And so hopefully that's kind of whetting our appetite to want to read what Mark has to say and to find out more about what this message about Christianity is all about and to want to sort of keep up and to find out more about it. And so Mark says, at this time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now look at that. We've had a message so far in the first few verses, first of all from the Old Testament prophets saying about the coming of this one who is going to be the Lord. And we've had a message from John saying, this one who comes after me is far greater than I am. He's far more important than I am. And now we've got a third message, not from John the Baptist, not from a prophet, but from God himself. And as the Lord Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, God tears open the heavens and says, this is my Son. You are my Son, whom I love and in whom I'm well pleased, and with whom I'm well pleased. So this backs up what Mark says in his first verse. This person is no ordinary person. This is the Son of God himself. This is the most amazing person you could ever meet. And if the claims are true about Christianity, that it's about having a relationship with this person called Jesus Christ, if he can forgive my sins and give me the power to live for God, then it's about a relationship with the most amazing person that anyone could ever meet. I suppose you could say what Mark is doing is saying, is introducing us to a person who's worth meeting, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. People have all sorts of ideas, all sorts of theories about what Christianity is, about what who Jesus is, you know, and you can talk to different people and you get all sorts of ideas about who he was, a good person, a good teacher, this, that, or the other. But you know something? When we start to read the Bible and what God has to say, in a sense, all of the speculation and the guesswork stops. And we can find out what God has to say. And we can find the truth about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now that's the end of my introduction to Christianity Explored. And as I mentioned, over the next few weeks, we're going to examine certain things, like who is Jesus Christ in more detail. Is it true? Or is there any evidence to back up what Mark is saying of who he is? And then to ask the question, well, assuming we've identified who he is, that he really is the Son of God, why did he come? Why did he bother to leave heaven and come to earth and to go through all that he went through? Because answering those questions makes us realize how important it is to trust him and to follow him. And then we'll finish off by thinking about what are the consequences of following him. It's a decision that we all have to make, but it's a decision that we can't take lightly, because it's life transforming and life changing to make that decision to follow Christ. So that's the introduction to Christianity Explored, and I trust that it's whetted your appetite to sort of follow on afterwards. Now, if for those who may be interested, there is a kind of a brief summary sheet here which you can take away at the end if you want. And what it does do is it does raise a few questions and also give you a little bit of homework to do if you want. So there's a section called follow-up. And the idea of that is to really to go through the first 2.5 or so chapters of Mark, kind of exploring the themes that we've already looked at and asking a few questions, and you can sort of write down your own answers and ideas. Now, if anyone's got any questions about what's been said or things that come up in your own reading of Mark's Gospel, then please feel free to ask your questions. You can tweet them. Probably get more of a response from Phil if you tweet, but you can tweet me as well if you like. Or you can put questions in the box. What we want to do is to encourage some discussion and thinking about this question about what Christianity is all about. So these are all available for anyone who would like to take them. Thanks very much. We'll just close with a word of prayer, and then I think the children will be back in any moment. Our Father, we would just thank you that we can consider the claims of your word and the claims that Mark made in his gospel, that Christianity is not some dry, dusty religion about rules and keeping regulations and not having fun and things like that, Father, but it's about a person, Jesus Christ, a person who is the Son of God himself and who is able to transform lives. And we pray, our Father, that as we consider these claims in Mark's gospel over the next few weeks, that it might indeed have that effect upon us to make us realize, help us to realize who he is and what it means to follow him. And so, our Father, we just pray that you'll bless each one of us now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.